So finally, Tony hugs him, and then he snatches two Pez dispensers, and he goes, looks like my man's been packing.
I love when he's digging through, like, all the stuff that's, like, fell out of one of the walls, and he picks up, like, a somersault. She goes, and what's this? A deli meat, and throws it at the kid.
He tries to, like, rip it in half, but it's, like, in saran wrap, so he can't rip it, just falls over.
He just throws it at the kid and keeps going.
Good day and good gaming, Retro Junkies, and welcome to another episode of Winging It. I'm your host, Rob, and joining with me, as always on all these Junkies episodes, is my main man, my partner in Retro Gaming Crunch. I'm stumbling. Ooh, I'm stumbling. It's been so long. Landon Long, how are you, buddy?
Hey, man, doing good. It's been a while. I know. I'm feeling some pent-up energy that needs to be let out tonight.
Me too. I'm like, my cheeks are already hurting because Landon's already had me rolling. We've been recording for 16 minutes, so we got plenty of fodder for the blooper reel, but Landon's already had me rolling with some stuff, and I'm like, it's good to be back. Oh, I've missed this.
And there's some stuff Rob didn't hear because I put in another secret song.
Oh, man! Man, you're on fire. You sang two songs today.
I know. I sung about Batman's and...
Shout out to Josh Witt.
I won't tell you what the secret song is, but let's just say it involves a lot of baloney.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'll find it out when I edit it. Jeez.
Oh, you'll like it.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I always crack up. That's why I love editing, because a lot of times I go back, I'm like, oh, I forgot we talked about that. Or, oh, I didn't know Landon snuck that in. But yeah.
Well, I'm a sneaky Pete.
You are. And you're also Uncle Tony today, according to the studio.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you notice who my name is?
Uncle Tony believes in you.
I'm Tony Perkis, and I believe in you.
Having been raised or taught by private tutors my entire life, I've never worked with children, but I'm looking forward to it.
I love, we'll get into what we love about it here in a little bit. Every time I think of him, I think of him like running with the log through the woods up above his head, like
devil
pressing
log.
It. I'm feeling it, Pat. I'm feeling it.
So, guys, if you haven't already kind of guessed it, yes, we're covering a classic today, a 1995 classic, Heavyweights, which we'll get into that in a little bit. And see, just for the record, for Winging It episodes, we haven't done one in quite some time, but usually the premise of it is we literally just go out, we eat some wings, and we talk about whatever it is we're talking about, the topic. But most of the time, I'd say 99% of the time, there are no notes or anything like that. We're just kind of... you know, shooting the breeze. And Landon and I guess I should back up and say that, first of all, we're so sorry it's been so long since the last episode, the Spider-Man episode. That was not intentional. We definitely had planned to do something in May, and just the busyness of the school year, things winding down. I know you had basketball with Lola, who's been...
Life happened.
Yes, life happened. And I know you're a busy man these days, so...
Dude, we are on a... 2 or 3 weekend break from basketball, and then we got to start back.
Wow, back
like
at
we kind of get the four. We get the time of the fourth off, and then we get right back into it.
Wow.
And then the kiddo decided, hey, I want to do cheerleading this too. So she worked it out with all of her coaches. So she's going to do cheerleading practice 2 days a week, basketball practice 2 days a week, and then she's going to alternate on weekends between cheering at football games and playing basketball tournaments.
Wow, she's an active. Girl, no kidding.
Dude, I'm like, you know you're going to be killed, right? She's like, yeah, I know, but like, I don't want to stay up late, and I don't do anything, so it's getting out of the house. I'm like, man, good enough for me.
Yeah, look at her taking initiative. I love that. That's awesome. Well, go Lola. I heard she's been doing really well with basketball and everything, man. I'm tickled to death.
Yeah, they won their age group here a couple of weekends ago. They were the number one team and didn't do so hot this weekend, but... We came to find out that they moved them up in an age bracket, and she was playing against 6th and 7th graders.
What?
As a fourth grader.
Wow. Yeah.
It was pretty bad, but like she held her own against them. Like she rebounded and played and moved, and she clotheslined a girl. I was kind of proud of that.
That's my girl.
Like the girl had got fouled, and they had stopped the play, and like Lola realized they had stopped the play, and she just like held her arm out and like clotheslined her. like knocked her on her back. That girl looked around like, where's the other foul? And they're like, the play was already dead. And Lola's like, yeah, the play's dead. Get up there and shoot your shot. So I'm like, whoa.
Wow, look at her. Cutthroat. Jeez. Just like her daddy.
She takes no prisoners. She gets into it and elbows girls, and she's got called for clubbing girls in the back of the head with an elbow when she gets mad. And
I
have to tell her, I'm like, calm down. Jeez, you're going to kill that kid. You're supposed to play basketball, not wrestling.
I'll tell you, it was busy for us too, man. I know, of course, school year ended in late May, and then just the last couple of weeks, just been watching my son throughout the week. My daughter's still in daycare part-time, but then I watch both kiddos on Mondays and Fridays. And then Grayson and I, I'm trying to train him. You know, we've been doing trying to train him with the bike first and try to get the training wheels off by the end of summer. And also, he is deathly afraid of pools. And it's because one time, I wasn't there, but one time he slipped in my in-law's community pool. And he fell underneath the water. And I guess he must have breathed some of it in. And it just scared him to death. And since then, he's like been deathly afraid of it. So I'm trying to kind of introduce him to swimming lessons in July. There's a YMCA not too far from our house. So I go to the weight room there and I drop him off at the daycare they have. But then every day I show him the pool. I'm like, okay, buddy, we're gonna eventually be doing some training together. But don't worry, I'm going to do it with you. He's starting to warm up to it. I think the first day will be the hardest, but I think he'll adjust. He'll do good.
Yeah, he'll do good. Lola has a hard time with bikes. She fell and broke her arm trying to learn how to ride one, and she's never really wanted to learn since. So, but one of the things that they do at her school for fourth grade is they have a bike riding day. And they take time in the PE curriculum to teach kids how to ride bikes. So I told her, I said, well, if you don't want to do it there, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it in PE next year. And she's like, well, I'd rather do it there because, you know, they kind of, you know, have better training equipment. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, my son, he's still got the training wheels right now, but we're trying to build up his muscles first, his leg muscles, because we got a couple of hills in our neighborhood and he's been riding up those. And just kind of trying to build his confidence a little bit before I start loosening the training wheels a little bit.
He'll be getting milk crates and plywood and making ramps and launching over them next summer. Watch this, Dad. This is cool. Right. Whee!
Like, oh, for the love of God, put your helmet on.
It's like, hey, man, do a tail whip off that thing.
Oh, man. Well, I know you've been a very busy guy, but I have to ask. I mean, with every single Retro Junkie show, we always ask. Have you been up to anything retro lately?
Oh, yeah. I kind of talk to you a little bit about this. I've been getting into my Dreamcast again here lately, and
yeah,
I forgot how much fun that system was. That system was such a great system.
I wish I had it at the time. I remember seeing the previews for it. I remember seeing commercials and everything, but I just didn't have it until they got really dirt cheap like 10 years later.
See, that was me. Like, I knew guys who had them, and I'd go over to their house, and, like, we would play the UFC game for it. And, you know, talking about cool. a bunch of teenage guys playing UFC, beating the snot out of each other. It got kind of intense, but it was fun. But, yeah, like, Sonic Adventure is on there. I've got that. Sega Bass Fishing, which is a awesome, like, arcade-style fishing game. Really enjoy that.
Sega Bass Fishing, out now on Dreamcast. You gotta be good to catch one.
Yeah, you were telling me about that one.
The Sega Bass Fishing's fun. It's like you've got a timer, and when you hook into a fish, you get some time added on. And then when you successfully catch it, you get a little bit more time added on. So it kind of wants you to not worry so much about the size of the fish as just catching fish before your timer runs out, which is a really cool idea for a game. I mean, I see why it was, you know, arcade listed as arcade, because that's kind of what it is. It's timed fishing, catch more fish. If you run out of time, you have to continue, which in the arcade you would put quarters in, but with the Dreamcast, you just hit the start button and it's like, all right, get ready, go. And then it starts your timer back over again.
That sounds awesome. And the Marine one you were telling me about sounded really good too.
I broke down and bought that one.
Did you? I did.
I wrote down and bought that one. The Marine one is like that. It's kind of like Sega Bass Fishing, but it's on the ocean, and it's a little bit more difficult because with Sega Bass Fishing, you can kind of hold the reel button in. The triggers are your reel in buttons. You can kind of just hold the trigger button in and pull the rod back and just wind the fish in and get it. But like if you hold the trigger down for like more than 2 seconds on Marine fishing, it'll snap the line and the fish gets off and it's no good. It makes fun of you. It's like, oh, you gotta watch your tension. With that one, you have to keep your tension on the line, but you can't let it get too much tension, or if the tension goes off of it too much, the hook comes out of the fish's mouth. So you're kind of doing a balancing act the whole time you're fighting the fish.
Okay, that adds some strategy to it. Yeah,
it's kind of fun. I'm trying to think what other cool games I've got for that. Phantasy Star Online, I've got that for it. I found that for like $2. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna buy that. This was a pretty big game back in the day. And
Sega announced that it would, within the year, create a new world, in that virtual world, the internet, and draw the front line of network gaming for the whole world. Welcome to the world of Phantasy Star Online. In this network virtual environment, you can take adventures with other people all over the world without ever leaving your home. Yes, you heard us correctly. We're talking about the world's first network multiplayer consumer RPG. The gaming population is the entire population of the world. We want you to enter the world of Ultimate Network Gaming. We want to give you the experience of traveling to distant planets and communicating in real time. The colonists to reach this planet by spaceship witnessed a tremendous and mysterious explosion. Just what is it that happened here? To find out, you'll have to communicate and cooperate with people logging in from all over the world. Solve numerous intricate puzzles and win heroic battles with ferocious monsters. To succeed, you'll have to cross national and ethnic borders to communicate and collaborate, exchanging items and information. Relax now, worry not. Language barriers have broken down entirely. You can even build a common front in real time with players on the other side of the Earth 20,000 kilometers away. And the world of Phantasy Star Online lasts for eternity. You can visit this world whenever you want, as long as you want, and do whatever you want. 1,000 beats a day, 365 days a year. An unlimited adventure fantasy with property, item exchange, information exchange, and chat functions for communication. An unlimited adventure fantasy, 1,000 beats a day, 365 days a year. Online gaming open to the entire population of the world. Phantasy Star Online. The gaming revolution comes in the year 2000. The door to the future. The door to freedom.
I've been doing the offline single player mode, and it's pretty fun. It's a little bit different from normal Phantasy Star games. It's a little bit more action oriented, but it still has that Phantasy Star vibe. It still takes place on the three planets in Phantasy Star, and it kind of starts out with the mystery of a ship that's crashed, and your guys sent down to kind of investigate if there are any survivors and see why the ship crashed, and then it kind of goes on out from there. And back in the day when you could play it online, like I think it was maybe a 4-person party, and you could all kind of play the game together at the same place.
Oh, that's awesome. And man, talk about it being ahead of its time.
I know, right? I think somehow if you've got a broadband adapter for the Dreamcast, which was kind of an upgrade back in the day. Yeah. Like they all came with a 56K modem where you could run a phone line into it. But the broadband was kind of an upgrade thing. And if you've got a broadband adapter on your Dreamcast, somehow there are ways online where you can still play Phantasy Star on private servers with people.
Oh, my goodness.
Today.
No way.
Play a nearly 22-year-old game online with people today.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I think it came out around 2000, 2001.
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about the upgrade. I remember when I got the PS2, there was a Ethernet upgrade on it, too. You could strap it to the back of it. And I remember getting Killzone, the first Killzone game for it. I think it might have been PS3 or, I don't know. There was some game that, oh, I know what it was. It was Resident Evil Outbreak.
Around every corner, behind every door, deep in every shadow, terror waits. Evil returns to the PlayStation 2. Resident Evil Outbreak. Rated M for mature, only from Capcom.
And I had an Ethernet port in the back of the PS2 for it. But man, that was such a cool idea.
Outbreak
at the time.
Was such a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And no one ever talks about it. There were two of them. And I love the fact that it was co-op.
I had Outbreak 1.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sold it like a big idiot. I sold it to GameStop. I wish I would have kept that now.
I wonder if there's any private servers for that, eh?
I don't know. I bet you could probably find out if you, like, you could just Google, like, can you play Resident Evil Outbreak in 2022, and it'll probably list ways to do it.
Yeah. You see, like, one guy sitting in a lobby. Hello?
Yeah. Hey, anybody want to help me kill some zombies? Hello?
Yeah, it was such a scary game, and each player had their own kind of capabilities and strengths and weaknesses, and y'all had to work together, and it reminds me of... You know, many, many years later, the Friday the 13th game will come out. It was very similar to that. And if you had a good team that actually worked together, you could survive. And I've had, of course, bad situations in Friday the 13th where you had a lousy team that everyone's out for themselves. And it makes for a miserable experience. But I love that Dreamcast did that and the early PlayStation era did that. It's cool that now that stuff's considered probably retro. But even then, they were exploring with multiplayer, you know, via the internet.
That Outbreak was a good game. Like, I had Outbreak. I remember I was a freshman in college. And on my hall, I had Outbreak and an Ethernet adapter. And somehow some other folks across campus had the game, too. And there was, like, a Western server for it. And, like, we would play with, like, guys that we went to class with or that we saw walking down the street and... I mean, like, me and my roommate, Mark, this is no lie, we started playing at 8 o'clock one night after we'd got all our stuff done, all of our classes, and, like, we used to have Tuesday and Thursday, we would either watch anime movies or we would play video games. That Tuesday, he's like, hey, man, pop that Resident Evil Outbreak in. I want to try that. I'm like, okay. We played from 8 o'clock that night until like 4:30 that morning with just guys on campus. And finally, one guy's like, dude, I got class in 3 hours. I got to go to bed. And we're like, oh, crap, it's 4:30. Yeah, we better go to bed too, man.
Yeah, I miss those days where you could just play like that, man. Those were some good times. I remember
that was a good time.
Oh, man, it sure was. I remember this right around that same time. I got Outbreak, and we were at Michael's house, and we were playing it over there for the first time, I think. I think maybe he picked it up, or maybe I got it and I brought it over there and we all played. Gosh, I just fell in love with that game. I thought it was so cool. But speaking of Western, you know, our old stomping grounds, our old campus, my wife and I, we went back there a couple weeks ago, and this is retro related. We were walking through the campus and we found in the UC, they had skee ball machines. They had a Galaga. No, it was either Galaga or Galaxian. It was one of the early ones. I think it was Galaxian. Or no. It might have been Space Invaders. They had one of those. And then Simpsons Pinball and a few other machines. I'm like, they didn't have these when we were here.
No, they didn't have any of that there.
No, it's way cooler now.
Man, we missed out.
Your old dorms are gone.
Yeah, I know. A lot of the places that I stayed at were gone. They got knocked over.
Yeah, they tore them down. I know. Yeah, but yeah, anyways, it was a cool blast from the past, and I haven't really been up to too many retro things myself. I did play a little bit of Pokemon Gold and Silver not too long ago, and I've been watching a lot of retro stuff. I found a really cool streaming channel called Blast Processing. I don't even know how I discovered these guys, but it is basically a YouTube channel. Their website is goldgaming.com/blast-processing. And the host was super nice. I was watching this live stream of him doing the original Street Fighter game. And he was kind of telling his story about how he got into classic games. And it was the exact same story for me. You know, started off with a Nintendo right around 4 or 5 years old. And then his next system was a Genesis. So anyways, we got to talking on there. It was really cool. And he did a playthrough of the next game I'm going to talk about, which I'm super excited about. But anyways, yeah, I just wanted to plug Blast Processing. And I also wanted to plug our old friend Phil from the No Swear Gamer channel. He's still knocking it out of the ballpark. He started in 2014. He is still just pumping out videos, high quality, just incredible, great retro content. If you've not checked out the No Swear Gamer guys, I cannot recommend that show enough. It's family friendly, obviously, and just great retro content. And I've been watching a few of his videos. He did an unboxing of this. You might have heard of it, Lana. It's like this monthly charge for, it's called Retro Gaming Treasures or something like that, where you pay, I think it's like $39.99 a month, and then it's like $6 or $7 in shipping. It's about $45 every month, but they send you retro games.
Oh, cool. I've seen stuff like that before.
Yeah, you can kind of pick and choose which types of games you like, what systems you want them from and everything like that. So anyways, what Phil did is he did an unboxing video of that, and then he would look at the games that he received that month and compare it on the pricechart.com and see if, you know, the value was good. And the one I watched, he actually got more of a bang for his buck from the boxing than he paid. So
nice.
It was really cool. Yeah, really cool. And it made me really kind of want to do that. and he's not sponsored by them or anything. He just wanted to do those videos. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, been watching. It's a great idea. Yeah, been watching his videos a little bit. No Swear Gamer. I'll try to leave a link to that in the show notes. And that's... And the biggest thing, I guess that we can count this as retro. It just came out. But, oh my gosh, you probably already know what I'm going to say. Let me just prelude it by saying cowabunga. Oh my gosh. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, heroes in the hot shell. Shredder's Revenge. It just came out on June 16th. It is June 22nd as we're recording. And it is, hands down, the best Ninja Turtles game I have ever played. Easily. Ooh. Because it is everything I have ever wanted in a sequel to Turtles in Time or anything like that. And then some. They have the original voice cast. The soundtrack is phenomenal for the game. The gameplay, the combo system, the level design, the variety of villains, the variety of heroes you can play as, the co-op. I've not even started the co-op yet. I've heard some people in Discord channels say it's a little overwhelming. There's a lot going on in the co-op, but that's to be expected. You know, you got to expect the chaos when there's so many sprites in each level. But, oh my gosh, and Grayson loves it. We've been playing it together. We beat it on easy mode. And I think once you beat it on easy mode, you can unlock Casey Jones, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, cool.
And, oh, man, it's super fun. You got to get on the Switch, buddy, so we can play.
get it on the Switch. I was wondering what you got it for, because I'm like, I need to figure out what Rob got it for so I can get that here next payday.
Oh, yeah. All I've got left is a Switch, man. I had a PS4. Times were tight about a year ago. I had to sell that, but I still got my Switch, and man, I'm loving it. And I guess this is another semi-retro thing. There was a summer sale on Terraria, and I think it's actually still going on as I'm recording this, and I picked that up. I got the Ultimate Edition of Terraria. It's a great sandbox, 8-bit kind of indie game. It's been around for, gosh, close to 10 years now, I'd say. But it's a fantastic game. And once again, they got me. I've got it already on Steam. Now I've got it on the Switch. So
look at you.
The story of my life.
You're supporting that creator.
Yeah. Yep. Between that and Stardew Valley, which I always play and I probably always talk about, that is, I've actually got like a renewed love for that game, because now I started fixing up the mansion in the game, or basically each room in the mansion you can restore. Mm-hmm. And you do that by basically fetch quests, things like that, where you can go catch certain fish, but you can only get certain fish at certain time of the year, certain times of the day, and in certain bodies of water. So you have to basically complete all these bundles to restore these rooms. But when you restore the rooms, it unlocks a new feature in the game that you didn't have. Like, you can go to the desert, or you can fix the mining shaft, and you can travel through different levels easier. It's definitely keeps you motivated and keeps you focused. And my wife, she unlocked she completely restored the mansion like 2 years ago. And she's kind of helping me now restore the mansion. She's like the Stardew Valley guru. So, yeah, just been playing that, man. It's been a lot of fun. And just watching Phil's videos of he did a live stream of the mini golf game for the 2600, which was an early 2600 game that I didn't really know about. So watched him play that a little bit. Kind of made me want to get my 2600 going again. I've got my Intellivision hooked up, so I may have to fire that up here soon once this garage ever cools down. But
yeah, man.
Oh, man. It's about 87 degrees in here right now. I'm looking at the thermometer. So, woo.
Pure roast. Yeah, man. Cooking yourself.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. I've got my water, and I've got my Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. So
you're good to go. You hydrated.
I'm good to go. I'm good. I'm hydrated. So with all that, I've got a drink, but man, I'm starting to get a little hungry. What about you?
Yeah, I could go for something good.
All right, man. Well, I vote we head on to Al's. So, Al's, is it? Stan's. Lord, it's not Al's.
I was going to say Al Bundy. Yeah.
So, okay, wait. So, there's the connection right there. All right, yeah, Stan's. Stan Makita, Al Bundy. Okay, sorry. My subconscious went nuts there. Yeah, so let's go to Stan's. Let's get out of this arcade. It's pretty hot in here. Let's go to Stan's and get us some wings, eh?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Food! Pull over!
Yeah, I'm starving!
Far from the everyday world, there is a place. A place where big...
Congratulations, Mr. Sims. You are the fattest boy in camp.
...is beautiful.
Chipmunks! Download!
And then, isn't it?
This is definitely not sanitary.
For Jerry and his friends, it was a dream come true. Until the new owner...
That is out of here, mister!
Oh, no.
...turned it into a nightmare.
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle.
Now, after 6 weeks of frustration...
Then we're going to climb that 1,000-foot rock face over there.
...starvation...
There isn't a gummy bear left in this entire camp.
...and humiliation...
Nice swing, you fat tubbo.
Everyone having fun?
Jerry's out to do something far more important than lose a few pounds.
I have a plan.
He's out to gain respect.
What is going on?
You can't kidnap the owner of a camp. Oh!
Welcome to the annual Apache Relay.
We're as good as anybody. And it's about time we started acting that way.
Take him down, Cappy.
Walt Disney Pictures presents a comedy for every kid.
Tell me the artist and title, please.
Cher?
Da Vinci's Mona Lisa.
Tired of taking it.
I'm so slow. It would have been cool to go fast.
And ready to dish it out. Heavyweights.
We'll be right back.
All right, guys. So today we are talking about a classic. We, like I said at the top of the show, we are talking about Heavyweights, which was a 1995 movie. And it is one that I actually missed out on as a kid.
Oh, you missed out.
I know. Apparently this released in February 17th of 1995. It was a relatively successful movie. It grossed about $17.6 million. By the way, I didn't take these notes. This is straight from Wikipedia. That's how professional we are. It's directed by Stephen Brill, and it was written by Stephen Brill and Judd Apatow.
He wrote, Judd Apatow wrote 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Mighty Up Ducks, and all those movies. Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, quite the comedian. This movie, so based on what you're saying, you saw it when it came out?
I saw it when it came out on video.
So what did you think? It was a love at first sight for you?
I loved it, and get this, like, they filmed a lot of the movie in North Carolina, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
They did. They filmed a lot of the movie in North Carolina. The scene where they're on the bus going to camp, and they pass all the fast food restaurants.
Yes, the Taco Bell and everything?
That's Hendersonville Road in Asheville, and I have drove down that road, and I'll never forget when I was a kid. I saw that, I'm like, oh, I've been to that Checkers, and it's great!
You know, it is so funny you bring that up, because I remember watching that scene last time I watched it, looking at that scene going, that looks like somewhere around here.
Dude, that's Hendersonville Road in Asheville.
Oh my gosh, we've probably been there. Well, I know I've been there.
They filmed a lot of the movie in like Asheville and Hendersonville, I think.
I could see that. Definitely got the Smoky Mountains vibe.
Yeah, Camp Hope, man. That's that's in North Carolina.
Yeah. Definitely better than Camp Crunchy or Camp Krusty.
Yeah, I am too, Crunchy the Clown, Bart.
Mr. Black.
We want Crunchy.
Oh, that's another. You know, I wish we would have done both of them. Oh, Heavyweights and Camp Krusty.
Maybe we can do Camp Krusty later on this summer.
Absolutely.
The Mr. Black thing. I got to tell a tangent story on this. So my daughter goes to an orthodontist, and his name is Dr. Black. And I go, hey, Lola, are you going to see your favorite orthodontist? Dr. Black. I hear that Dr. Black is going to tighten your braces today. And Dr. Black is going to set you up with a new appointment.
She's probably like, Dad, please stop.
She looked at me and she's like, Dad, knock it off with the Camp Krusty crap.
I love that she gets the reference. That's great. You're raising her right, man.
Yeah, dude, we've watched all the Simpsons. Like, she asked the other night, she said, hey, can we watch that Simpsons where Homer finds all the sugar and I forget what the other plot is. Oh, it's the one where the other girl's in Lisa's class and she's just as smart as Lisa and Lisa kind of feels threatened by her. It's where Ralph has the Wookiee and wins the diorama with his prepackaged Star Wars action figures.
Oh, Chewie!
And Buffy,
we have a winner!
I love where he looks at the one teacher. He's like, what do you think, Miss Hoover? I just want to go to lunch. We have a winner!
Oh, I love it. There's some great summer episodes of The Simpsons, too, by the way. Like the one where Bart breaks his arm, or was it his leg, and they got the pool.
He breaks his leg because Nelson tells him his epidermis is showing.
He's like, your epidermis is your skin, so technically it's true.
Oh, no. What makes it funnier is he messes it up. He goes, your epidermis is showing. He falls, and he looks over at Jimbo, and he goes, your epidermis is your hair. That's why it's funny.
Oh, that's the same one where Bart's got the little telescope, right? And is that where he witnesses or he thinks he sees Flanders kill his wife?
Yeah. 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 And it's making fun of
Jimmy
that.
He sees Jimmy Stewart?
Hey, Grace, come up. There's a sinister looking boy looking at me. Merry Christmas, movie house. Whoa. You listen here, Mr. Potter.
Oh, wow, we got off the rails quick on this one.
we've went straight from summer into Christmas.
Oh,
and
no kidding.
And the greatest hits
kidding.
Of Jimmy Stewart. Whoa, Mr. Potter, you're just a old sourpuss.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, yeah, so I missed out on this one. Now, I saw it many years later. I saw it when I was a teenager. I remember I was actually down south at the time, and I went back up to see my dad, and I would always go to see my neighbor, my old neighbor Dave, and he had it on his big screen TV, and I was like, what is this? I remember seeing Lars getting licked by the deer and everything. I'm like, this is so funny. How did I miss out on this? So I remember seeing it much, much later, but I remember liking it even as a teenager. And now, as a soon-to-be 36-year-old adult, I think it's even funnier now than it was back then.
Oh, such a good movie. Like, the comedy in it's held up really well, I think.
It has. I mean, this is totally a 90s movie. Like, it opens up with a great intro song. I like the song so much, I actually looked it up just before we recorded this. It's by the Bodines. It's called Closer to Free. So it's a great, like, kind of 90s alternative track. And I guess the whole premise, Landon, if you wouldn't mind to kind of summarize that, it's just basically this boy named Jerry. And what happens to good old Jerry?
Gerald Garner, age 11, 141 pounds. It's about Jerry. He comes home from school one day.
Oh, but I got choked.
Isn't he wearing like an Islanders t-shirt? Because every time I see that, I want to sing that song, and the Islanders still suck. But he comes home, and his mom and dad are watching a video, and they're sending him to a special camp, and he finds out he's going to a image enhancement camp, as they call it, which is a nice word for fat camp.
Can I just say, like, in the video? Oh, sorry, Landon. I think there's like a second delay. I'm so sorry. In the video, when he's showing the video, I love how when they pause it, or the Jerry pauses it, it's like right when this kid's crack is showing. Like, as he's jumping off the blob. It's like, wait a minute, this is a fat camp.
But it's a cool fat camp. They have go-karts and the blob and all kinds of cool stuff to do. And he kind of gets talked into going. And then they go down the scene that we just talked about, going down Hendersonville Road past all the fast food places. And he meets his counselor, Pat, who acts like he's going to turn into one of them. And then he doesn't. And they all get mad.
I love Pat. He's great.
Pat's the heart of this movie, I think. Pat and what was the other guy's name? Pat and Tim.
Tim, yeah, the dancer?
Yeah, because they were, they had both went to the camp as kids, and they came back to be counselors, I guess.
And, oh my gosh, the supporting cast. So you got, of course, you just mentioned Tim. You've got the nurse. What was the nurse's name? Nurse Julie.
Julie.
Nurse Julie. Nurse Julie!
For a deep tissue massage?
It's like, will you excuse me? With great difficulty.
Lars.
Oh, my God. Lars. Oh, my gosh. Lars and Ben Stiller, like, they steal the show, but there are so many funny characters in this movie. You've got Josh, who I think Josh was Keenan, right? Keenan from All That. And then Roy was Goldberg.
Hang on. I think you got that. Keenan was Roy, and Josh was Goldberg.
You got it, man. I got that reverse. Yeah, where Roy's going, hey, I saw the new nurse. She's very attractive. And Josh goes, this pleases me.
Yeah, I love that. This pleases me.
Yeah, like he's almost like a mafia character, which actually kind of suits him.
He kind of is, especially later on in the movie when they're breaking their diets.
Oh, yeah. Now, oh, my gosh. Okay, so they get there, and, you know, Jerry's kind of excited. He's like, you know what? Okay, this isn't going to be so bad. So they get there, Camp Hope and everything. Things look great. And then the speech with the original owners, and they have, unfortunately, gone bankrupt. And I love Jerry Stiller's like, never let anyone sign your checks! you know, so they go their own separate ways. And the entrance for the new ownership, I love how Lars is setting it up. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Perkis believes in you. And Tony, he runs in. I mean, you know, he got the sirens going and everything. And I love he's got like his earpiece and everything. And he goes, can you smell it? There's a life force in here tonight.
And everybody's kind of like sniffing around like, who farted?
I love it when he goes, he points some of the kids in the crowd. He goes, I see the future president of the United States. He, like, points to the one British kid.
Yeah.
And Jerry's like, he's from England. Oh. He's got that great line. I eat success for breakfast with skim milk.
We're Percocizing.
And isn't he kind of trying to sell the camp? Like, he's trying to do an infomercial to get more people to come to the camp so he can make more money.
Yeah,
because he's got a camera crew that follows him the whole time.
Yeah, which comes into
play
later.
Can we do that again? I didn't like that. Can we do that again?
Yeah, I think it was for a late night infomercial where he's trying to sell his own, like, you know, exercise routine and his own products and everything. And I love how he says, I just said it a little earlier, where he's like, I've been trained by private tutors my entire life, so I'm looking forward to learning from you guys. He's like, and I bet I'll teach you a few things, and I bet I'll learn a few things too. And the kid's like, oh, please get us out of here. Yeah, so they start kind of weighing the kids and everything the first few days, and I love how Lars is doing the weigh-ins and stuff, and he's like trying to take pictures of the kids. He's like, you broke my camera!
You've broken my camera!
And before that, he's like, I have a severely deviated septum. Don't be alarmed. I'm fine.
Lars is so friggin' good. I love him.
He really is. Was he in anything else? Because I loved him in this movie.
I don't think he was. I don't think. You know what? I'm going to look him up. Let's see if he was in anything
else. Oh, my gosh. So, Landon, you know Kirkland. Doesn't Lars look like Kirkland?
I didn't think about that. Oh, my gosh.
But, like, Kirkland shaves his beard. He looks just like Lars. Chris pointed
skinny,
that out.
Tommy.
I never noticed.
Me too, Lars. Me too. Slide. Glide.
And he's like, he gives the kids their new Percocizing t-shirts. He's like, your families will be built automatically. And I love when he's over the whole intercom and everything. And by the way, so... new management, they come in, like Tony Perkis and all of his people, and Lars is like a secondhand man. But meanwhile, you still have the original counselors there, like Pat, like Tim, and then now Nurse Julie is there. They don't really know what to do about this new ownership. So poor Pat, he seems to be really kind of verbally berated by these new people. And I love it. There's a shot of Pat, like he's raking some leaves and everything, and you hear Lars over the intercom, we have a clog in one of the toilets. Bring a plunger now.
Bring a mop and a plunger now.
Now. You see, like, poor Jerry's, or poor Pat's like, oh, man. So the kids, they don't like this at all. But luckily, so far, they've been able to hide all of their candy, all of their snacks and all these areas and stuff.
And the counselors are helping them too, like Pat and Tim and all of them are coming by and buying candy from them too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I love how finally one of the old campers, who's now I guess turned heel to the new ownership, he rats all the kids out, tells them where all the secret spots are and everything. And I love when Tony first comes in. He gives Josh a hug, right? He's like, come on, Tony believes in you. Give me a hug.
He just kind of looks at him like, I don't want to hug you.
Yeah, he's like, and Josh's like, okay, all right, fine. So finally, Tony hugs him, and then he snatches two Pez dispensers, and he goes, looks like my man's been packing.
I love when he's digging through, like, all the stuff that's, like, fell out of one of the walls, and he picks up, like, a somersault. She goes, and what's this? A deli meat, and throws it at the kid.
He tries to, like, rip it in half, but it's, like, in saran wrap, so he can't rip it, just falls over.
He just throws it at the kid and keeps going.
What is this, a deli meat?
He's like, oh, look, a deli meat. Oh, gosh. And I love he's how over the top he is. And it's so great because even at the end of the movie, he calls himself. He's like, although the villain was a little over the top. Like, he knows. But I love how he's like trying to model how great it is to be Tony, because he lays on a bed of nails. He's got like this giant block of ice on his belly, and Lars has a sledgehammer and crushes it over his belly. He's like, it is my honor, Tony.
I love the one announcement, like after they bust him with the candy and the deli meat raid. He's on the loudspeaker. He goes, attention campers. Breakfast has been canceled due to a lack of hustle. Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Breakfast has been canceled due to a lack of hustle.
Yeah, I love it. He's like, he doesn't know. He's like, don't forget, we have a seminar liposuction, obsession, or what is it? Is it option or obsession or something? Like why would kids want to know this? Oh, gosh. But so anyways, so, you know, another thing that goes on every year with the current Camp Hope counselors is there are other rival camps in the area, and they all have this giant competition at the end of the summer called the Apache Relay. Well, you know, Camp Hope's always gotten the floor mopped with them because usually some of the other camps have coaches and a lot more of the athletic kids and jocks and everything. And, you know, they're always coming by. They're hazing the counselors and everything. And one day, Tony decides to invite the girls from the other camps to go to the dance. And this is like the best scene in the movie, in my opinion. I love this scene. So, Larry, you want to explain this one?
So it's kind of like your traditional like middle school dance, like the boys are on one side and the girls are kind of on the other. And, you know, the Lars is the DJ.
Which is perfect.
He's up there dancing. And, like, you know, the counselors all look at each other and the good ones, not the mean ones. And they, you know, this is dying. We got to get these kids out here and get them having fun. And so Pat gets out and starts dancing, and Tim and Nurse Julie and everybody gets out dancing. And then the boys start dancing with the girls. And when they're having a great time, you know, they're just, you know, enjoying the dance. Ben Stiller comes in and he's like, all right, everybody go home now.
He's like, I know this must be hard for you ladies.
Move it.
Move it. He's like, oh, I better cover up the fruit soon. The fruit flies are going to get in. Something like that. But even before that, I love Lars dancing to You Sexy Thing, and then yes, the other one, The Love Machine. And he's like gyrating his hips.
Man, Lars can get down.
He can. Oh, gosh. It's great because, you know, there's some heartwarming moments, too, where right after the dance, Pat and Jerry, they have their moment on the go-karts. And Jerry's like, you know what? All my life, I always wanted to go fast, and I just never could because I've always been the heavy kid, you know? And Pat's like, well, I can help you with that. So even though the go-karts have been stripped of their engines, Pat decides to kind of push Jerry around, and it's a sweet moment. And, yeah, I just love that scene. And then, oh, one other thing is I forgot to talk about is Josh, you know, the head camper, I guess you could say, the leader, he gets kicked out.
Because he takes the blame for the candy, doesn't he?
He goes, it was me. I think so. Yeah, it was me. So finally he comes back and he's acting all crazy like he's had a lobotomy and everything. But then, you know, he plays a little trick on him. He's like, ah, I'm fine. I love how he just acts like an adult. He's shaving. He says he's been shaving for a couple years. He's like, so what did you do when you got on the outside? All the kids are asking him. He's like, I went to the Sizzler.
He went to, and they were like, oh.
He's like, yeah, I closed the place.
I love that he got in because his parents threatened to sue Tony for kicking him out of camp without a refund.
Right, exactly. That's
and,
great.
And it's just like kids, you know, when like somebody leaves unexpectedly, like from school, everybody's like, what happened to so-and-so? Well, these kids start doing that in the movie. It's like, you know, I heard he got sent to a prison upstate.
Yeah, I love the cafeteria guy. He's like, yep, I heard, sorry about your friend. I heard he's dead.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, he's dead.
Scoop some more mac and cheese on there. Oh, it's great. So, yeah, so anyways, so weeks have gone by, and they're exercising everything, and Tony's under the impression that they're doing well, but we know that the kids have been kind of smuggling some more food from the outside. They've been leaving, like, these, it's like this stump in the middle of the woods, this communal stump. Oh, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Before that, they sneak into Tony's house, and this is a great part, too.
Oh, Tony's house.
Oh my gosh, I love that it's a Zen garden, and he's got size on the wall, like Ninja Turtle, like Raphael size on the wall. And I forget why they were sneaking in there. Was it to see if he was hiding the letters, or did they find that while they were in there?
I think they were looking for snacks, and then they went in there and found the food and the letters. Okay.
Gotcha. So meanwhile, yeah, Tony's out exercising. I mean, running, and not just running, but picking up these devil logs and throwing them around.
Devil log! I'm feeling it, Pat. I'm feeling it.
It even stretches on his front porch like a lizard. Like, he's so great. So anyways, I love how the kids, they sneak out, and one of the kids farts or whatever, and Tony's like, oh, what was that? But they get out just in time. And then they catch one of their friends in one of the bathrooms eating a cheeseburger. They're like, hey, where'd you get that? And they find out that the friend has been paying these kids kind of to meet at a drop-off spot in the woods. They drop off a few bucks, and then the other people drop off some food. So all the kids are doing it. And then even some of the original counselors are doing it, too. Like, yeah, you see Pat out there a few times.
Oh, so good. And then they do the weigh-in for the TV cameras after that. That's awesome. They're doing the weigh-in, and, like, everybody's gained more weight, and Tony's getting mad. And finally, he just goes, turn the cameras off. Turn it off. And he turns around, and he kind of talks to himself. He goes, how you doing, little Tony? Bad. Why bad, little Tony? Because I'm doing everything I can, and they're not losing the weight. It's not your fault, little Tony. You're right, big Tony. It's not their fault. It's not your fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. They're not following the plan. So now we're going to go on a 20-mile hike.
20 miles?
I love how he just does it. How you doing, little Tony? Bad.
Bad. Oh, poor Tony. Yeah, so they have to go on a 20-mile hike. And he's like, this is where we separate the men from the boys. So, but even before that, he goes off on the poor kids, and we see that the filmmaker or the camera guy, he's still got the record button on because we see the red light, so he's still filming this entire tirade that Tony's on, which will be kind of used a little bit later in the movie. So shortly after this, I love that Jerry and Pat, they have another moment, and this time Tony had gotten on to Pat earlier. He's like, oh, let's hear the health advice from the fat guy, you know, which was really mean. And really hurts Pat's feelings, but nobody stood up for him. So Pat, he's kind of dejected. He's on the dock. And Jerry, this time, cheers him up, which I thought was cool. Shortly after, they go on their big hike. And I love how Tony, like, literally leaves kids behind.
Yeah, he just, like, runs up ahead of them.
You're like this one kid, he just flops down by a tree. And he's like, just go without me.
Leave him. He's dead weight.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be fired in, like, a heartbeat if he was working for a school.
For real.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that today.
No. He's like, stragglers are left to fend for themselves.
I was.
So, you know, he's... Right. So he's doing his thing, you know. Eventually, they take a break, and he decides to meditate. He's like, feel the chi, repulse the monkey, part the wild horse's mane.
This is... And then this is where they, like, make fun of him, and he just, like, jumps out over the cliff and starts doing, like, pull-ups and, like, gymnast flips on a tree limb over a cliff.
What was this? Yes, I know, because, like, right after that, he's like, oh, you want to play, Josh? Here, let's play. And then he just, like, jumps off a cliff onto a tree.
And what makes him do that is they say, no, you can't do it. And he's like, can't do what? And they're like, we got a bet going on that you can't do a sit-up blindfolded. He goes, that's easy. Anyone can do a sit-up. And he's like, all right, we'll do it. And he, like, gets in the setup position, and they blindfold him. And Josh gets over him and pulls his pants down. He does the setup. And he looks, and he's, like, face-to-face with his butt. And he goes, oh, my. Oh, my. And he, like, pushes him down.
He, like, yeah. Oh, I'm reliving that scene now. That's great. So, yeah, so he chases them now, the kids. And we find out that this was all part of the kids' plan. They've come up with their own plan to trap Tony. So finally, as Josh is running for his life, Tony's right behind him. Tony falls into this pit. And that's when Jerry goes, gentlemen, we reached the point of no return. So now the kids have kidnapped poor Tony. Good old Uncle Tony. So Tony's been like... And this is where it really reminds me of Camp Krusty, right? Where the kids run the camp.
They tie up all the staff other than the good counselors. They tie Lars up to a tree and...
Yes.
Help me! Somebody please help me!
When the deer, when the deer's licking him and he's screaming for his life. Oh,
they're like
that
painting honey on him. They're like, we hear these woods are full of bears and bears love honey.
He's like, you've come to free me! He punches him right in the, you know what?
Poor Lars.
But so the fast food party by the fire, it cracks me up, but it is disgusting. Oh,
it's gross.
So disgusting. Oh, hey, speaking of fast food, we forgot to order our wings, eh?
Uh-oh.
So what kind of wings are you going to get?
I think I'm going to get deli meat flavored wings. Oh, look, a deli meat.
Well, I was gonna save mine for the fire. I remember they're like pouring chocolate syrup all over their faces and stuff.
Yeah, and whipped cream and marshmallows and
yeah, and cherries right out of the jar. So I'm gonna do chocolate syrup and cherry wings. So there you go.
Meat. Oh, look, a deli meat.
Oh, look, a deli meat. And then try to break it. You can't.
Just throw it at the kid. That's some good improv right there.
Oh, that was great. That was great. So Pat, you know, he gives this pretty big motivational speech after, you know, it's funny. It's like everyone was partying, but it wasn't alcohol. It was just food. And they're all dancing around the fire just like parading in food. Yeah. So they all wake up the next day and Pat, you know, he's kind of channeling his inner Mr. Rogers. He's like, good morning, children. They all wake up. They're all acting like they're hungover, but they're just stuffed. and then it's parent day. Parent day happens. So all the parents show up. And I love how when Tony's in captivity and there's kids guarding him and everything. And I think the password was what? Yankee Doodles?
Yankee Doodles.
to let people in. I love that Tony's like, don't be frightened, Nicholas. I'm a beaten man. So finally he tricks poor Nicholas and he gets out and he shows up right in the time where the parents, finally Nurse Julie, she comes up with the video. She makes this video showing all the footage of how Tony's really been when he thought the cameras weren't rolling and how horrible of a person he's been to the kids. And all the parents are shocked when they're seeing this. And then finally we see Tony on like the ceiling, like clapping, going, bravo, bravo. That was beautiful. Touching stuff. Although the villain was a little bit over the top. And then he does like a front flip off the ceiling onto the floor.
He gets in a fight with Jerry's dad when he flips down, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes.
And you know who Jerry's dad is? Jerry's dad is the dad off of Arrested Development.
I don't think I've ever watched it.
It's on Netflix. If you ever have any time to like just watch a silly show that's just bizarre, you need to watch it. It's hilarious.
Cool. He's funny. I've seen him in some other stuff. He's great.
But he knocks Tony out. I mean, Tony wasn't that bad. I think you've had enough.
he's like, no, you're wrong. You're through here. and he knocks himself out too, I think. He like does this backflip,
I think
right?
He does, yeah.
He like crashes against
the wall.
He
misses his backflip up and like hits his head.
And I love
that they call his dad to pick him up.
Yes, exactly. He's like, I don't know, the kid was always a little off.
You know, nobody ever gave me a hug and you don't see me boo-hooing around.
Yeah. And then you see Tony is like looking at his dad in shame in the car.
And I love how he's like, Mr. Perkis, Jerry is. He's like, Mr. Perkis. And he goes, call me Papa.
He's got like Papa. A jockey.
Call me Papa.
Call me Papa. And yeah, so basically they need to have somebody run the camp. So all the kids, they vote for the one who's been there the longest, and that would be Pat. So everyone's chanting Pat's name and everything, and Pat's going to be the new person running everything. Feels great. And this will be a great time for the movie to end, but actually there's a little bit left because then you have the Apache relay. And then all the kids from the other camp, they compete. It's a pretty great relay, but eventually it ends in the go-kart race, and Jerry ends up winning that. So he does get to ride his go-kart at the end, and they have a great
time.
They
make some modifications to it.
That's right. And it ends up like...
where it just like takes off.
Yes, and there's a great scene where it runs up this ramp, and just before the race is about to end, Jerry flies over top of the other kid and wins the race. It's a great scene. They bring the blob back. Camp Hope is restored. And it's just a kind of a feel-good ending to the movie. So, man, just talking about it with you, I got a big old smile on my face. This movie, it's dumb, it's silly, but it's a great feel-good movie that I think has aged remarkably well for something that's probably not so
really good.
Politically correct. Yeah.
It's such a good movie. I mean, yeah, it's a product of its time, but like the humor still holds up. Like the humor is still funny stuff.
Oh, yeah. Just the cast of actors that they put in this movie were so good. A lot of good children
ben
actors.
Ben Stiller,
Lars. I love Lars. I'm with you. When they're like, are you with us, Lars?
I love you.
I love you. Oh, I love it. I love it. So, you know, there are so many great cast of characters in this movie. This is one that I would probably put this in my top 10, like, favorite kids movies from the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And I would have liked this even more if I'd seen it when it first came out in 95, because I was all over stuff like this.
Oh, dude, it was one of those, it's like one of those summer kind of adventure with a big cast kind of movies.
Yeah.
You know, you have like your gang that you're rooting for, your guys that you're rooting against, and you want the good guys to win, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose, and especially at the dance, that one kid, he won. He won the whole dance. Wasn't there one that was like making out with the girl, like, all right, you two, break it up.
Oh, that's home. Right. That's right. Yes. Was it the English boy?
It may have been the English boy or Salami Sam. I mean, have guys like Salami Sam, you know, guys that you don't really think about, but he had a name. He was a character named Salami Sam.
Salami Sam. There you go. Yeah. Well, as I was doing the Wikipedia search, I saw where the movie did pretty well, but it's kind of garnered a cult following, you know, many years later. And it was on Disney Plus back in 2019. I don't know if it's still on there now, but I forget that this is a Disney movie.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of the actors, you didn't see in a whole lot of other things. Like, I was thinking about Nurse Julie, Lars, Tim. I don't really remember seeing them much in anything else.
Yeah, I mean, really the only guy who kind of still does stuff was Jerry Stiller and Ben Stiller. And Jerry Stiller is gone, so it's really just Ben Stiller now. And Judd Apatow. I know. You know, he writes and directs a lot of movies. He's credited as Homer Schultz in the thing, too.
Homer Schultz? Who was that?
Was Homer Schultz one of the guys who was one of the candy runners that they paid?
Oh, might have been. Yeah. I like how even the cameraman, he was in a lot of Adam Sandler movies, too.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was in a couple of them. I know he's in Billy Madison, I think he was in Happy Gilmore, and Big Daddy, I think. And maybe even Little Nicky. But yeah.
Oh, you know who else was in that movie that's big? Paul Feig. I'm just seeing what all he's done. He's done Bridesmaids. He did the all-female Ghostbusters.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, he's kind of done some other stuff. He did Freaks and Geeks, which was a great TV show back in the late 90s.
Oh, I remember Freaks and Geeks, yeah.
Freaks and Geeks was good. Freaks and Geeks was a good show. Like, it's on Hulu, I think, the whole series.
I remember having a crush on the main girl. Yep. Back in the day. Before my wife, of course. I just had to throw that in there, too.
As far as the kid actors go, I don't know if any of those guys really did anything else.
Yeah, well, Kenan
Thompson, I guess, is the big name.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I forgot about Keenan. Yeah, and he's kind of got like a minor role. He's kind of like Jerry's friend that kind of shows him the ropes at the beginning, but he doesn't have a big role in the movie. But Paul Feig, he also wrote a couple episodes of The Office and Parks and Rec, so I didn't know that about him. Very cool. Oh,
Parks and Rec, so good. I love Parks and Rec and The Office.
Oh my gosh, love both shows. But
watching Parks and Rec marathon.
nice. Yeah, we got back into that not long ago. We started watching some episodes again. We kind of
Andy Dwyer's the man.
He really is. He's great. All right. Well, I guess that kind of wraps it up. Any last thoughts on Heavyweights or anything like that, buddy?
If you've never seen it, watch it. It's still good. It's a good family movie. There's nothing like real vulgar or over the top or anything. The language is pretty good. But yeah, if you have time, you know, watch it. It's not a long movie. It's like an hour and, you know, 20 hour and 30 minutes. Just your normal standard movie. It very much a product of its time. And yeah, watch young Ben Stiller kind of have a psychotic breakdown.
And he kind of reprises his role. How you doing, little Tony?
Bad. Why bad, little Tony? It's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's their fault.
He's like, I blame myself. You know what? No, I don't. Yeah, and he kind of reprised his role in Dodgeball a little bit. I mean, I don't know if it was...
Yeah.
It wasn't Tony in that one, was it? Was his name Tony in...
He was...
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to drive me crazy now.
Oh.
Oh, no.
It was for Globo Gym.
Yeah, I remember.
Here at Global Gym, we're better than you. And we know it. You call that a sit-up?
It might have been Tony.
Let's see. Dwight Goodman.
Dwight Goodman?
Wow. White. W-H-I-T-E. Dwight Goodman.
Is that where the one was like, hey, I'm white. W-H-I-T.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Well,
he is kind of Tony Perkis in that movie.
Definitely Tony Perkis. Yeah, it just reminds me of him slightly older, but over the top again, loves fitness. Oh, it's perfect. But
the cinematography, but the villain was a bit over the top, wouldn't you say?
As he does a front flip off the ceiling.
Woo! He's like full on Ric Flair in that scene.
His hair's all spiked
up. He's just crazy. He don't care.
No, he don't care. All right, guys. Well, I think with all that, you should let us know what you guys think of Heavyweights. There's some people that loved it. Some people that probably don't. Tell us why. Either way, we would love to hear from you. You can always send us an email at trjsupershow@gmail.com. Also, I'm in the process of slowly but surely setting up a Discord page where we can do polls. We can maybe do some live recordings or something like that. Or, you know, just kind of get the group together, a little community together, and just talk about classic games, movies, anything. So as you're hearing this, hopefully it's already set up. But if not, by the next episode, we will be sure to have a Discord set up and send you guys an invite link. We would love to connect with you guys there. And you can always give us a call on our Hoser hotline at 865-309-4875. We would love to hear from you there. And yeah, I guess that's about it, Lando. What do you want to cover next, man? You want to do a video game? Do you want to do a movie?
Ooh,
completely up to you.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think what would be good to cover.
Yeah, we can figure it out, man. No
yeah,
problem.
We got time.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah. Yeah, and hey, Landon and I are going to get to hang out.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about that. Actually, I'm off work and everything that day, so woohoo.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. Yeah, we're going to go get some wings, probably going to play some games. Basically, what we do on the podcast, you know, that's what we do in real life anyway. So,
yeah,
we're super excited.
We're pretty much the same as we are on the show as we are in real life.
Yeah, I'm going to admit to you, the reason I didn't take any notes is I just wanted to get caught up with Landon. So I was like, hey, let's talk about Heavyweights.
It was a movie that we both loved, and I've seen it like a blue million times. So,
yes. And I've seen it a lot more in recent years. But I was like, hey, this will be easy. We can just talk about that. Here we are. We just got to get caught up, and it's been great. And we thank you guys so much for joining us. And on behalf of Landon and myself, here's to hope you enjoy. Oh, shoot. I'm doing the Ninja Turtles thing. On behalf of Landon and myself, we hope you have a good day and good gaming. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Getting shows mixed up again, man.
I know. I got to do more super shows, man.
It's a good one. It has a lot of good callbacks to the other Star Wars movies.
Oh, very nice, man. Yeah. I like the fifth episode. I just like how serious they made Darth Vader look. Like, he snaps a guy's poor lady's neck, no hesitation whatsoever.
Yeah, and he's just bad to the bone. He's like Rogue One Darth Vader, kind
of. Yes, that's what I thought of. Like, he's in some ways he's like just throwing people around, but what's different with this one too is he's killing just random citizens, not even caring about it, you know, where in Rogue One he was just like, you know, basically throwing around the rebel soldiers like ragdolls, eh?
Oh yeah, that the Rogue One and Obi-Wan have done a good job of making Vader the bad dude that everybody, you know, acted like he was in episode one.
Right, exactly.
Or four, or whatever you want to call it. The first Star Wars movie.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, somebody else said it too. It's like, you know, they were like, oh, well, maybe he's just misunderstood. He's actually a really good guy. Nope. Not in the Kenobi movie or shows.
No, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited about Friday too.
Yeah, me too. It'll be fun. I'm stoked about that.
Me too, man. Still up for getting some wings and playing some games?
Yeah, man. I'm down for it.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. By the way, I got that game you were telling me about.
The Neverwinter?
Yeah. Yeah. I picked it up. Yeah. What, I haven't gotten to play it yet. Not yet. Is it the Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out.
And, like, there are so many, like, fan-made stories that you can put your character into, which is one of the things I think is really cool about it.
Oh, cool. Cool.
And, like, all of his stats and all of his weapons and everything transfer over unless the story calls for him to, like, wash up shipwrecked and all of his equipment's gone and he's got to find new or whatever.
Yeah, you said it came out in 2002?
Yeah, I think the first one. I remember I was like a senior in high school when I bought the first one when it came out.
Oh, wow.
Like, somewhere at my mom and dad's house is a, like, manual of, like, D&D rules as it relates to that game, and then, like, all the spells and everything you have to cast them and everything in that.
Oh, man. So it does teach you kind of the mechanics and a little bit about how D&D like works.
The prologue of it is really good because you can elect to skip the tutorial or you can read through the tutorial, and it kind of tells you, it's like, okay, to pull up your stat sheet, hit the C button for character, and it pulls up your stats, and it, you know, tells all your stats, your attack power, your health, your magic, how many experience points you need to the next level, like what abilities you have. And the cool thing about that game is like, there's no, like, set pattern you have to do. Like, you can have a, like, you can have a fighter that knows how to do magic spells.
Oh, cool.
Or you can have like a wizard who can go in with like a battle axe and start fighting people.
It's like, man, that wizard, he ain't playing.
He ain't playing around. He gonna zap you with a spell and then he'll cut your head off.
Oh, that sounds fun. Yeah. The story sounded good too.
Yeah, the first part of that one's good. And see, that's just like the basic. That's what the game came out with. And then I know, like, in stores, they released, like, different stories that you could do as add-ons, and now you can just download them. Like, you can download them into the game file, and when you start the game for the first time, it'll ask you which story you want to play first.
Oh, so it's all included.
Yeah. Like, the Enhanced Edition comes with a few of the extra stories.
Oh, cool, cool.
They're all kind of broken up into chapters, and it's kind of like a fantasy book. Like, I know the primary on the first Neverwinter is like the prologue and then four chapters.
Cool.
Is that game. And then, like, you get into further on down, you get into different things and new spells and new characters. And it's fun. Like, I've been playing the second one. The second one came out a little bit around the same time that KOTOR did, and it plays a lot like KOTOR.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of like KOTOR in medieval times.
Oh, cool. See, I'd like that. Yeah, I think this computer, I'm trying to remember, I bought this one probably about seven, 8 years ago, and it was kind of like a standard computer back then, but surely it would, yeah.
The requirements on that game are not much, because it came out like in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, it should be able to run it. Yeah, and I think maybe I'm thinking it was the laptop that I had, but I tried to run KOTOR on something, and I couldn't even run it. I was so bummed out.
There's one planet on KOTOR. I think it's the second one you go to where you do your Jedi training. I swear there's something up with that planet, because on every version of that game I've played, it has like massive lag in that planet, and I don't know why. Hey, it's showing on my GOG that Rob bought Neverwinter Nights. You two can play together.
sweet. I still got Ultima on there. I've barely played.
Oh, Ultima's good, but like I don't have the little keyboard, because it was all like keys and computer shortcuts and stuff to do stuff in that game. And like, you about have to print out the sheet to be able to figure out what to do in that one.
Were all of them like that, or just like the first one?
I think the first couple were like that, because they came out like in the early to mid 80s, I believe.
Wow. Yeah.
So they were kind of like what started RPGs kind of like mainstream on computer and then on into consoles.
Yeah, I never played them as a kid, but I remember watching a special. It was on Netflix, I think it was, like The Games That Made Us.
Yeah.
And they talked about it. And I was like, oh, I think I vaguely heard of that, but I didn't play many PC games as a kid because the only PC I had had was, I'd never had a PC until I was a teenager, but in school, we had some that had the floppy disks on them, like the big floppy disks.
Yeah.
And like there were like some educational games, but I think they even had like a Mario game or like a Mario spelling game you could play.
Mario Teaches Topping? I had that game.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
That game was so much fun. That's how I learned how to type was playing that game.
I know. When he jump over things too, like when you type right.
Yeah, he would jump over things and swim and yeah, that and Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing. We had that at school.
Nice.
Mavis, she wasn't as cool as Mario.
Super Mavis, yeah, bros.
It's okay. I mean, you're kind of just dressed up in a business casual outfit, but I mean, come on, it's Mario.
Right?
It's Mario. You can't compare to Mario.
Oh gosh, yeah. Yeah, I remember playing Oregon Trail for the first time. Yeah, we had one computer in the back of our classroom, and on Fridays, I forget if we got all our work done or if we gotten like a certain score on our spelling test, we could go down to the back of the class for the last 15 minutes of school and play computer games. And oh, it was so fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I played some classics because she had a, I forget, I think it was Miss Amber, my third grade teacher. She had a like giant disc case that had like probably 100 some of the, you know, the floppy disks in it.
That's
like
so
the
cool.
Big ones. Yeah. So. Those good times, man. That was my only exposure to PC games until I saw my uncle had Doom. And it was like mid-90s then. And I saw Doom, and it scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Dude, Doom used to scare me, too.
It's a scary game. I mean, the guy's in hell.
If you read the story of it, you're like, wow, this is kind of deep stuff for a game of just going around killing monsters.
Yeah, it's a little intense. Okay.
Yeah. Little intense for children. Yeah, that and... Duke Nukem 3D, that was another good one.
Definitely not for kids.
Dude, definitely not for kids. I remember I rented that. They had an N64 port of that game, and it was actually kind of fun. I really liked it.
I wonder if that's the same one they have for the PlayStation 1. They have
it
one for that one.
Been. I know the N64 one was like... I think they may have came out around the same time, actually. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But I remember I rented... Duke Nukem 64, and I'm like, wow, this is... I always liked when you went into the movie theater, and you could go into the men's room, and you could walk up to a urinal, and you'd hear, like, water running, and he'd go, oh, yeah.
Like, man, Duke, you sure are a man.
He's a manly man. He's
a manly man. Nope. Yeah, because I remember, I think it was on a PlayStation demo disc I played it. I was like, oh man, I'm not supposed to be playing this.
Your mom would be like, what are you playing, Rob? Nothing.
Mario Teaches Typing.
Just popping Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing in, Mom.
Oh gosh. Well, Hoser, if you don't care, I'm just gonna get some water real quick and then we'll get started, man.
Sounds good.
Alright, man. Looking forward to it.
Oh. My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's O-S-C-A-R. That spells Oscar, Oscar, and that's the baloney for me. I'm singing out of key. Rob didn't go get no water.
I'm gonna show Rob's you like my back, man. What?
You better not, you can go to jail for that.
It's a Batman. Shout out to Josh Witt, who remembered that classic song from Landon Long.
if he has that as his ringtone, I bet people look at him and go, dude, what are you on?
I hope
like,
he does
what? It's just a guy singing about showing us his Batman. Maybe he has a big Batman collection. This is a Batman. Here's another Batman. This is scuba diving Batman. And this is underwater freeze Batman. Here's an extreme inferno heat Batman.
Like, how long is this song?
Man, this song just goes on forever because there's so many Batmans.
Or would it be Batman? I'm not sure.
Yeah, what is the plural of Batman? Batmans? Yeah. Batman?
Batmans?
Batman. Hey, man, I got these Batmans I want to show you.
Oh, just hear
some guy
already.
At a flea market. Hey, man, do you like Batman? Yeah. I got all these Batmans over here if you want to take a look at them.
I don't know. I don't know what would sound worse, though. Batman or... would you say... Batman... I don't know. The things
we're stepping
we talk
into
about.
Some heady subject matter here.
I know. Some deep theological discussions.
And do you show people your bat car when you show them your Batman? Like, I have the blue Batmobile, and the red one, and the black one,
and the
one
red
that turns
one.
Into a rocket ship, and then the green one, and then the one that turns into a boat, and he can go underwater, but then he pops back up. It's like, man, you've got a lot of Batman.
Oh.
Or Batmans.
Batmanuels.
<Da-da-da-da>.
Chris Beth brought that up the other day. She's like, do you think that thing's still standing? I was like, I gotta ask Landon next time I talk to him.
You know, I went by there about 3 years ago and it was still up.
See, I wonder if COVID killed that place. Is it still going, the comic shop?
I don't know. I've not been out there since COVID, but I mean, that guy knew the Emperor of Japan personally, so I mean, he's not hurting for money.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Do you remember that?
I forgot about that.
Like, we were looking at something. He's like, yeah, that Japanese stuff there, I'll sell it to you for less than what it's marked. Oh, okay. You know, I know the Emperor of Japan. We're like, oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like, well, all right, man, cool.
That's awesome. Hey, next time you see him, tell him I said hi.
Like, hey, you know that guy I was in here with last time? Oh, yeah, 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 I remember him. Yeah, he says hi.
He says hi.
He says, tell the Emperor, yo.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I can already tell it's going to be a fun show. Well, cool, man. Hey, we'll keep it nice and short. I'm in the garage, and it is hot in here. Woo.
Dude, I went out and weeded it on the back of our bank today, and that was a mistake. I about had a heat stroke out there.
Oh, it's rough, man. Oh, yeah.
Had my flannel on and everything.
Man, look at you.
Well, you know.
Channeling Rob.
You know, I've got to wear flannel in the fall now. Like, in the fall and winter, I just wear, like, a t-shirt and a flannel overshirt, and that's about all I need outside most days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the way to go, man. It's the way to go.
It's the way of the hoser.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of way of the dragon, it's way of the hoser.
Enter the hoser.
Enter the hoser.
Oh. It's like, is it a kung fu movie? Nah, just people watching hockey and...
It's just a guy walking into a house trying to make it to the top floor going, hey, man, can you scoot over? I need to go upstairs. Oh, yeah, yeah, go ahead. It's 5 minutes of that, and that's the movie.
That's the movie. He just keeps going up to the next level.
He gets to the last guy, and he's sitting on a chair in front of the door to where he needs to go. And he's like, hey, man, can you move? And he's like, can you make it worth my while? And he's like, I got a donut. Hands the guy a donut. Makes it to the room. End of the movie.
End
great
scene.
Movie. End scene.
Oh, gosh, I love it. It's a jelly. All right, man. Well, I will take us in. All right, here we go.